And at some point, he gives them enough training, and he says, all right, I'm going to deputize you. You are now officially police officers. And he sends them out. And what do? Well, they go out and they do what the sheriff did. They arrest lawbreakers, and they do it the same way the sheriff did. They say the same things, they do the same things, because he gave them authority to do that. Today we're going to be talking about how Jesus gave us authority to heal. We are in the third part of a series on healing. The first week we talked about how healing is one of the benefits of what Christ did for us, meaning that in the same way that Christ paid for our forgiveness, he also paid for our healing. It was included as one of his benefits, one of the benefits of the kingdom of God. The second week we talked about if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. And so what that means is if we see what Jesus did in regard to sickness and healing, then we've seen the will of the Father. So we've seen that Jesus healed everybody that came to him for healing. The only people that didn't get healed were the ones that never came to him. He healed everybody that came to him for healing. Okay, so I think most people would understand that, yes, Jesus healed people and he has the authority to heal. So what about us? What does it mean when I say we have authority to heal? Do we have authority to heal? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. Let's go to, go ahead and go to the next slide there, Michael. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Yeah, verse 12. Again, for me, my whole view on this thing has shifted about 6 months ago, and it was because I saw it in God's Word. So I really want to encourage you, follow along today. We're going to be hopping around a bunch. If you don't have a Bible, grab one of the blue ones, okay? Follow along. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now, would you show us your word afresh? The truth has always been there, but may we see it with fresh eyes today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us. We're listening. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, verse 12, now many signs and wonders were regularly done. By whom? The apostles. So think about it. This is Acts chapter 5. So Jesus had already been resurrected and ascended into heaven. So he's not physically there in the flesh. He's in heaven. So it wasn't just Jesus that did signs and wonders. It wasn't just Jesus that healed. The apostles also healed and did miracles. So we're going to take a look back at when they first started to do miracles, a little more in depth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. If you're using a blue Bible, it's page 733. Luke chapter 9. Now, this is written in three of the four Gospels, this account, and in kind of from three different perspectives, I guess you could say. But it's essentially the same thing. We're not going to read all three. We're probably just going to read two, okay? But it's in three of the four Gospels. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. That's where I got the title for this series, to proclaim and to heal. We were not the disciples were not just sent out to proclaim about salvation or the kingdom. They're also sent out to heal. All right, so did they actually do that? Drop down to verse 6, same chapter. And they, the disciples, departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They didn't just preach, they healed. They healed everywhere they went. So that's our first point. Jesus gave the apostles authority to heal. He gave them authority to heal. Now, think about it. This is pre-resurrection. They weren't even officially born-again Christians. How about that? You ever thought about that? They were just kind of, I guess you could say, delegated the authority. Almost like an ambassador from like a king would be delegated with authority to act on behalf of the king. So he, you know, delegated that authority, if you want to put it that way, to the 12. Now, were you aware that there were other non-apostle disciples who also were given authority? Let's see. We're going to go to Luke. Well, actually, before we do that, let's look at one more account. Turn to Matthew 10. I want to read this because this has some more information about it. Still referring to the apostles. Matthew chapter 10, page 688. Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. What were they given authority to do? To heal every disease. Every disease, every affliction, and to cast out demons. How about that? Why would he give them authority to heal every disease and every affliction if God was picking and choosing who gets healed? That doesn't make sense. At least it doesn't make sense to me. Drop down to verse 7. He actually sent them out ahead of him. He wasn't with them. Did you realize that? We'll read that again in a little bit to be more clear. But he sends them out ahead of him. So they couldn't even say, okay, Lord, here's a sick person. Is it your will to heal? He gave them the command, heal the sick, which we're getting ready to read right now, which means that it was for all. Verse 7, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. They were given authority to heal. When I say heal, I'm kind of using that as an umbrella term, like we saw in chapter 9 of Luke. Heal, under the umbrella of heal, is heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Some of those terms are used interchangeably, particularly casting out demons and healing. So I'm talking about kind of the whole gamut of things. Okay, now, let's go on to the next point. Jesus gave the 72, Michael, go ahead and go to that next point, the 72 disciples authority to heal. So we're back in Luke. Now, some Bibles, the translation will say 70, and that's fine. Either way, I'm not concerned about the number. I'm just concerned about the fact that it's non-apostles. Because sometimes people will say, okay, Jesus healed. All right, obviously. Apostles, okay, I'll give you that. But we're not apostles, so it doesn't apply. Okay, so look at we're chapter 10 of Luke, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Luke 10, chapter 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him. This is what it was referring to a minute ago. Two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Look at verse 9. He gives a lot of instructions, but we're going to look at verse 9 in interest of time. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Same basic commands. Heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom. Given to non-apostles. Again, this was pre-resurrection, so they weren't born-again Christians either, officially. That's kind of weird to think of it that way. So Jesus gave the 12 authority, kind of delegated, if you will, and he gave the 70 or 72 authority. All right, so when does it switch from them to us? Go to the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. We're pretty familiar with this. I would say most people are. I've heard it from one time or another. Matthew 28. Sorry, this is page 706. Matthew 28. We'll start in verse 19. Actually, we'll start in 18. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, the 11 disciples, because at that point Judas was dead, you know. So all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have a tendency to stop there, but we keep reading. Teaching them to observe what? All that I have commanded you. What did he command them? proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and healed the sick. I mean, he proclaimed them a lot of stuff. He told them a lot of stuff to do. He commanded them to do a lot of stuff. Love your neighbor is part of that. You know, we know a lot of those other things, especially the ones related to the gospel and salvation and things like that. But it's like we've kind of forgotten about the healing part. It was a big part of Jesus' ministry and the apostles' ministry and the non-apostle disciples' ministry. And so he says, make disciples of all nations, meaning we're supposed to be just like the other disciples, of all nations. The verse I think that really made it make the most sense to me is this. And we kind of read this last week. Go with me to John chapter 14. I hope you got your fingers warmed up today. We're going to be flipping through some pages. All right? Again, I could just tell you, but it's more beneficial, I believe, to see it and read it for yourself and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you as you read it. Look at we're going to look at verse 12. So this is where Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus says, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. In verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. He's talking about signs and wonders. He's saying, believe on the account of the miracles that I'm doing. Verse 12, this is the one. This is a great memory verse if you're into that. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. So if we believe in Jesus, we're supposed to do the works that he does. We're supposed to do the signs and wonders that he does. So to me, that answer is for certain. That is still available. It is still applicable to us today. Now, what changed is this. When Jesus went to the cross and rose from the grave, well, then the disciples became born again. So instead of the authority being delegated to 12 and 70 or 72 people, now that authority is inherited. Instead of someone sending the king sending an ambassador on his behalf with delegated authority, now he's sending one of his sons. Now he's sending one of his daughters who's inherited that authority. It's changed. It's better. It's better. We have inherited that. We are born again. We are born of spirit. We are children of God. There's many passages in the New Testament that talk about that. So the authority is really part of our identity in Christ. We are more than conquerors. Over what? Over all the power of the enemy. Through him who loved us. It's Romans 8:37. Now what was really helpful for me is to find in the New Testament accounts of people after Jesus rose from the dead who healed, who were apostles and non-apostles. We already looked at the apostles. That was the first thing we read. Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles were regularly doing signs and wonders. So let's look at the non-apostle disciples who healed the sick. Go with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. There's two guys that's specifically listed. One is Stephen. And there's not much detail here, so it's just really one verse. Acts chapter 6. Page 774, verse 8. Stephen was not an apostle. He was one of the, you could call him a food kitchen worker, right? There's so seven guys that we kind of see them as the beginning of the deacon ministry who are set aside to help with the food distribution, right? But he was working in the food kitchen, if you will, all right? What I'm trying to say is he's just a regular guy. He's just a regular disciple. And Stephen, this is verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. All right? Like I said, there's not a whole lot of detail. So turn the page over to Acts chapter 8. Philip, the evangelist, not Philip the apostle, Philip the evangelist. He was one of those seven deacon, kind of pre-deacon guys, I guess you could say. We're going to start in verse 4, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. This is talking about the persecution had come at Jerusalem, and so the disciples were scattered about. That's what that's referring to. So the disciples went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. He was preaching the gospel. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. He was healing. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. After the resurrection, the apostles healed. After the resurrection, the non-apostle disciples healed. This is really good news, because that means that we can heal. We have authority to heal. It's not just for back then. It's not. If you look at what the word says, it's for today. And that's great, because we got a lot of sick people who need help. It's not improper for us to say we have authority to heal. It's not blasphemy. It's not sacrilegious, because Jesus said it. Behold, I have given you authority. I'm not saying it. Jesus said it. If Philip were blaspheming by healing people, then it wouldn't have worked. You understand? God's not going to honor that. God's not going to honor that. So, and the thing is, we look at it, look at the fruit. It looks just like Jesus. He was proclaiming the gospel and healing people. There was much joy in the city. They became believers. That definitely doesn't happen if the devil's at work or if we're blaspheming. Jesus did miracles before on earth, when he was like in the flesh on earth, and he wants to do miracles through us, by the hands of the apostles, by the hands of the disciples. Okay, so we've been talking about healing for a couple weeks now. So how? This is the part I'm probably most excited to be able to finally get to. How do we heal the sick? All right, let's go. Yeah, there it is. We heal the sick by using the authority Christ gave us. I mentioned before about the sheriff, how he trained those people and he deputized them and he sent them out to arrest the lawbreakers. They were his deputies. Jesus is our sheriff. We are the deputies. We've been given authority over the lawbreakers, sickness, disease, demons, in the name of Jesus. It's kind of like our badge. A cop doesn't go out and yell out his own name. He yells out, you know, NYPD, LAPD, whatever cop show you like, CSI, FBI, you know, like they don't yell out Officer Josh Squire. Like that doesn't mean anything to the lawbreaker. It's not in his own personal authority. He didn't make his badge himself. It was given to him from above, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? So when we say in the name of Jesus, sickness, leave, that's why I say we have authority. Not because it's my own personal, I'm an arrogant, I'm going to tell people what to do. It's not that. It's I'm been given authority from above, and I'm just exercising it. When the sheriff sends out the cops, what does he say? Catch the lawbreakers, right? Arrest the people that are breaking the law. So when the deputy, let's say the deputy is sitting in his cop car and he sees a man attacking a lady, he's trying to like steal her purse. Does he call back to the sheriff and say, Sheriff, there's a guy here attacking a lady. Do you want me to stop him? Of course not. He doesn't even have to call. Why? Because the sheriff demonstrated what he wants when he was, what he wanted when he was in the field. So the law, police officers know already what the sheriff wants. Even if he did say that, the sheriff would say, of course it is. I set you out to do it. You don't need to ask. The officer doesn't need to ask for permission because permission had already been granted. And he'd been given authority, a badge, to back it up. We have been given authority to stop sickness wherever we see it. And if we see sickness, we put a stop to it by exercising our authority that was given to us. But this is kind of what happens. We see sickness and we ask the Father. And it's kind of like the cop calling the sheriff and saying, Sheriff, there's this guy attacking this lady. Will you tell him to stop? Have you ever thought about it that way? What would the sheriff say? You tell him. Why? Because I gave you authority to do it. We've been given authority, but we didn't even realize it. We're kind of like the cop. I'm kind of like, have been the cop who's sitting in the cop car seeing this happen and kind of complaining that the sheriff's not doing anything about it. When he gave me the authority to do that. He gave us the authority to do it. We've been begging God. Let me say this. I want to say this gently because I know this is a touchy subject sometimes. Okay. But we've been begging God to do something. He gave us the authority to do. Behold, I have given you authority. It's His authority in us or through us. We've been begging God to do something. He gave us the command to do. The sheriff said, catch the lawbreakers. Okay? Christ said, heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom. So what if the cop just sits there and the guy's trying to rob the lady, take the purse, and then the criminal looks back and realizes the cop's not going to do anything about it? What does the criminal do? He just continues doing it. He realizes the cop doesn't know he's a cop. One reason, this is not the only reason, I would say one reason why there's so much sickness is because there's a whole host of Christians who don't realize that they've been given authority over sickness. And they're just watching it happen, wondering why the cop or why the sheriff's not doing anything about it. Okay, so let's say the cop finally realizes, oh, that's right, I'm a cop, I have a badge. It's time to do something. What does he do when he goes to arrest the criminal? How does he arrest a criminal? He uses commands. Freeze. Stop. Put your hands up. Drop the purse. Does he ask the criminal? No. He gives commands. That's what someone in authority does. That's what a king does. He gives commands. Right? We are given authority to tell sickness and demons to stop what they're doing and leave. That's our next point. We have authority to command sickness and demons to leave. Now, let me be very clear. We are not commanding God. That would be blasphemy. That is not what we're doing. Nobody tells the sheriff what to do. But the sheriff gave us a command to catch the lawbreakers. Christ gave us the command to heal the sick, which means we give the command to the sickness to leave. That's kind of like, and we could also say, if you were using the sheriff tells the police officers to get the thief to stop, and you could also say, and return the purse. Return that person to health. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Now, some of that might sound new to you. What are you talking about? Command a sickness to leave? That sounds weird. Where do I get that from? Let's look in the Word. Luke chapter 4, page 727. Before you write me off as crazy, follow with me to the end, okay? And look at what God's Word says. Don't take my word for it. Look at what God's Word says. Luke chapter 4, verse 35. Now, there's a man here who had a demon. The demon starts to talk to Jesus and says, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. So we pick up in verse 35. But Jesus rebuked him, the demon, saying, be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. Excuse me. And they were all amazed and said to one another, what is this word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Did he ask the Father to do it? No, he commanded it. Why? Because Jesus had authority. He rebuked the demon. Now, if you look at the word rebuke, the demon was talking to him, and the demon was terrorizing the man. So in the case of healing, rebuke says he rebuked him saying, be silent and come out. So it's kind of like he was saying, stop what you're doing and leave. To the lawbreaker, stop what you're doing and leave. That's what rebuking means. You're commanding it to stop and to leave. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 38. And he, Jesus, arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. Have you ever noticed that before? He rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. He didn't rebuke the mother-in-law. He rebuked the fever. We have authority to tell sickness. It's the same word. He rebuked the fever. He rebuked the demon. We have the authority to tell the sickness to stop what you're doing and leave. And it did. It said it left her. Let's just read one more verse. We're going to talk more about this next time, but I kind of want to go ahead and let you be thinking about it. Verse 40. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. That's another way we can exercise authority is lay hands on person. And that's one of the ones we do the least. Jesus laid his hands on every single one of them. How often do we actually lay hands on someone who's sick while we pray for them? Something to consider. All right, so you might say, okay, well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's God. All right, what about the apostles and disciples? Remember, the deputies are supposed to do what the sheriff did when he was in the field. They're supposed to imitate him. So let's look at some of the deputies. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. The apostle Paul was there with Silas, and there's this girl that had a demon, a spirit of divination. And we're going to, Acts 16, page 784. We're going to pick up in verse 18. And this she'd been, kind of in the middle of the verse. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Did he say, Heavenly Father, would you please cast out this demon? No. He commanded it. He didn't even say amen. Right? I'm being a little silly here, but like, how often do we pray like that? Have you ever prayed like that? I command you to someone who was being afflicted by a demon. I command you in the name of Jesus to come out. Now, what's interesting is it's almost word for word the same way Jesus did it. We just read it. Jesus rebuked the demon of that guy, be silent and come out of him. It's practically the same. It's the same principle, okay? He's using his authority and he commands him to come out. That's the way it's supposed to be done. He didn't ask the Father to do it. He commanded it. He understood his authority. Paul understood his authority. If Paul had been blaspheming by doing that, it wouldn't have worked. If that was sacrilegious for him to assume he had authority, that would not have worked. Something to consider. He wasn't blaspheming. He was doing what Christ commanded. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. If the cop, let's say the cop says, okay, I'm ready to arrest, but I've kind of forgotten. How am I supposed to arrest the lawbreakers? The sheriff would remind them, think about it. How did I do it? What did I do? What I did? Say what I said. We're supposed to imitate Jesus. I mentioned earlier at the service, Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dearly beloved children. Children love to imitate their parents. It's natural. God wants us to imitate him. We're going to still have our own personalities. We don't have to be a clone, but we can still imitate him. Specific in the area of healing. So if Jesus commanded the demon to go, and Paul commanded the demon to go, then we're supposed to command the demon to go. Same thing with sickness. If Jesus commanded the sickness to go, we're supposed to command it to go. In the name of Jesus. All right, next slide there. We have authority to command the affected body part to be healed. Follow me on this one. That's kind of a mouthful. It's hard to put that all on one slide. go with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This is kind of like saying, ma'am, here's your purse back. He restored what had been stolen or taken away. In the case of healing, you're restoring what had, the healing that had been stolen by the devil. Mark chapter 7, page 713. There's a man that's deaf, and Jesus is with him. And it says, verse 34, and looking up to heaven, he sighed. This is Jesus looking up to heaven. He sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. It's just another way that you can exercise authority. A cop could say, to the lawbreaker, give her her purse back, commanding it to come back. Or he could say, here's your purse back. There's just multiple ways to do it. It's not like a formula. It's just really principles. So if his hearing had been essentially stolen, he's returning it. Be opened. He didn't actually command, he didn't say deafness leave. In this case, he just said ears be opened. He's commanding the affected body part to be made whole, to be restored, to be healed. There's different ways you can say it. We don't have to turn there. I'll just tell you. There's the story of the leper in Mark 1 that comes up to Jesus and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You guys kind of remember that passage? What does Jesus say? I will be clean. He actually doesn't say leprosy, leave, in that case. He just says, be clean. Skin, be clean, be cleansed. It's just another way of exercising the authority. There are a lot more examples that we're going to go into next time. So this is just a couple, all right? So please hear me. There are multiple ways to pray for the sick. This is just really three. Laying on of hands, commanding the sickness to go, commanding the body to be healed. Paul followed Jesus' example. Peter followed Jesus' example. We're supposed to follow Jesus' example. The command that the verse we read a few minutes ago, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. It's kind of like hidden in the command, the instructions. Say, be healed to the one that's sick. Say, rise to the dead. When Jesus rose the little girl from the dead, he said, little girl, I say to you, rise. When Peter rose Tabitha from the dead, he said, Tabitha, arise. Cleanse the lepers, be clean. Cast out demons, be cast out, come out. You see it? Like the instructions are kind of hidden in the command to some degree. We're supposed to imitate Jesus. Jesus didn't pray to the Father to do it. The disciples didn't. They didn't beg the Father. The Father told us to do it. Here's the deal. Jesus knows we've been given authority because he gave it to us. The devil knows. Sickness knows we've been given authority. We're the ones that don't realize it. We're the cop that needs to look down and remember we've got a badge on and it says in the name of Jesus. And one of the main ways we can use our authority is through commanding the sickness to leave and the body part to be healed. So here's a practical application. Let's say this week, I guess I don't preach again for 2 weeks. Let's say in the next 2 weeks, you get a headache. Would be an example. This is what I do. Okay, this is not the only way. This is just what I do. If I get a headache now, I say in the I lay hands on myself. I know it seems weird. I lay hands on that and I say, in the name of Jesus, headache, leave. Pain, go. And then I use the second part. Hand or head, be healed. I'm commanding the affected body part to be healed. If someone else has some pain and let's say they got shoulder pain or back pain, can I pray for you? Sure. In the name of Jesus, pain, leave. Shoulder, be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Try it. I tried it. What did I have to lose? I was praying for people. Nothing was happening. I've been praying the same way for 20, 30 years. If I'm honest, regarding people getting healed, I saw almost zero actual things like healings, like it says in the Bible it should. Believers will also do the works that I do. And I wasn't doing any of it. And I realized I wasn't praying at all like the sheriff. And then I tried it. It works. It works. I've seen it multiple times. I'm not trying to point any attention to myself. I'm trying to point the attention to Jesus. Do what the sheriff did. If he rebuked the fever, then we need to rebuke the sickness. If he laid hands on people, then maybe we should consider trying to lay hands on people. It really changes things. It changes the way you pray. I'm not saying that's the way we pray about everything. I'm saying specifically to healing. This is the way the disciples did it. They didn't have a gift of healing because they healed before the Holy Spirit had even come. So some people will kind of disqualify themselves. Oh, I don't have a gift of healing. Neither did they. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit yet, officially. They healed before they were born again because Christ had delegated it to them. So yeah, if someone has a gift of healing, use it. But if you don't, then just use your authority. Use your authority. If my prayers aren't working, last resort, follow the instructions. It seems awfully specific for him to say, he put his hand on him. He rebuked the fever. He said this, be clean. He said this, come out. It seems awfully unnecessary if all that matters is that we just pray to the Father. Like, why would he give all that specific information? It's because it's instructions for us to follow. The sheriff has written down what he did so that we have something to follow because we weren't there in person. So here's our training manual, if you will, at least in regard to healing. I'm not talking about that's the only way we look at the Bible now. I'm just saying in this respect. That's our instruction. He wrote it down so we could follow it. Disciples were supposed to imitate their rabbi. We're supposed to imitate Jesus. We've been given authority to heal. It's good news. That means that we can do something. We don't have to sit and watch it happen and just wonder why God's not doing it. Now we can realize, oh, I'm a cop. He's given me authority to do it through the name of Jesus, not my own name. I want to make that very clear. It's not our own personal authority. It's through the authority that Christ has given to us because Christ is in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you didn't just leave us here. You are with us. You are in us. And you want to do miracles through us. Lord, I'm fully aware that this could be a hard message to hear. But Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit pierce through whatever needs to be, whatever walls need to be broken down. Maybe there's just a lot of hurt. We've prayed for people and they didn't get healed and we just don't understand it. Lord, would you heal us in that way? Maybe we just need to forgive others. Maybe there's people that have prayed for us and they didn't do it quite like we thought. And so we got it resentful toward them. Maybe we just need to forgive them and realize they at least were trying. They were at least trying to step out. Lord, whatever it is, would you soften our hearts to the truth in your word that you gave us authority to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal? I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.